Good morning, saints, and good morning, sinners. To know that as believers of Christ, in the very words of Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer, we are, even as believers, simultaneously saint and sinner. In light of that, I invite you to take your Bible and turn to the third book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, the 36th verse. Luke chapter 24, verses 36 and following. And in the tradition of the early church, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. Today we address briefly the topic, seeing Jesus clearly. How do we see Jesus for who he is and not for who we think he is? While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself." Literally translated, it goes like this: I am him. Ego me autos. I am myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high." This is the word of God, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, it can bring hope and healing to each of us today. Almighty God, just give us Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I begin with two questions. Why is it for those who knew Jesus the best in human form, why did they have difficulty recognizing him later in resurrection form? How can he not be a familiar face? The 11 disciples are assembled together in Jerusalem. The two travelers from the Emmaus Road come into their midst, telling them, "It is true, the Lord is risen." Their very eyes, those two travelers, were opened when Jesus broke the bread before them. And as they were talking to the disciples, Jesus comes into their midst and stands before them, and he says, "Peace be with you." They were scared half to death. They think they're seeing a ghost. 3 years with Jesus every day, and they did not recognize Jesus. They assume that their visitor is a ghostly apparition whose motive is probably anything but good. Jesus then asks, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your mind?" He shows them his hands and his feet, still unconvinced they are. He even eats a piece of broiled fish before them, but still no belief. So let me repeat my questions. Why is it so hard for those who knew Jesus, the best in human form, to recognize him later in resurrection form? How can he not be a familiar face? Could it be that Jesus did not meet their expectations? Could it be that they had preconceived notions of how Jesus would be? Let the truth be told. They had walked with him, but they still anticipated that at this point he was a dead man, inert, decaying, lifeless, and listless. Somehow they had limited Jesus. They had made Jesus into their own image. In 2003, there was a book written called American Jesus, How the Son of God Became a National Icon. Listen at what Stephen Prothero says in that book. He quotes, first of all, from Hebrews. Jesus may be the same yesterday, today, and forever, but American depictions of him have varied widely from age to age and community to community. Now, go deeper with me. He contends that the American Jesus has become something of a chameleon, depicted as black and white, male and female, straight and gay, a socialist and a capitalist, a pacifist and a warrior, a Ku Klux Klansman and a civil rights activist. So we sing one of my favorite songs, Just Give Us Jesus. But which Jesus? Are we not guilty, like the disciples, of turning Jesus into our own image? Does your Jesus look like you? Or are you being transformed into his image? The story continues. Jesus opens the minds of his disciples. That's what we need. So that they can understand the scriptures. In their day and age, that was the law, the first five books of the Bible, the prophets, and the writings, which includes the book of Psalms. In other words, Jesus is saying to them, hey, I'm all in. I'm throughout scripture. I'm in on every page. Do you not realize this? He's telling us how we should read scripture and ask, where is Jesus in the text? And what does that matter for me? He explains that the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and then that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name for every nation, and they and we are to be witnesses of them. And then he calls upon them to wait. To wait for the power that God will give them. And that power is none other than the Holy Spirit of God. So how do we overcome the doubts? How do we stay away from making God into our own image? We pray that God will open our minds, that he will help us to focus on the scripture, to see where he is in that word of God. And then we pray that the mission that he gave the disciples will be our mission, not focused on ourselves, but but to go. To go and to tell others that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life as we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. This week, I went to North Greenville University at the invitation of their new president to join in the installation and inauguration. It was a travel back in time for me, for 62 years ago. My father matriculated on that campus. He had nothing. He was 29 years old. My heart was filled the entire time I was there. But while I was on the way there, I engaged one of their deans in a conversation. I said, "Why are we so divided as a Christian people? Why do we take snipes at other people? Why? And he said this. Now keep in mind, he's African American. Keep in mind, he's Pentecostal. But keep in mind, he is a believer. And he said this: we have lost the mystery. And we have lost the power. We've tried to control Jesus, shaping him into our own image, trying to rid him of his power. And we have tried to think that we could figure out Jesus. We've tried to tame this Jesus. And as C.S. Lewis says, Aslan is not going to be tamed. We have tried to rob him of the mystery that we will never understand this one called Jesus. He will always be beyond our grasp, but closer to us than our very breath. Now try to figure that one out. So today, I don't know what you are walking through. You may be in shock like the disciples. But Jesus is standing there with you. Embrace the mystery. Reach out and touch him. Take hold of the power. Because we serve a resurrected Lord. Almighty God, as we come now to this time of invitation, we seek to see you clearly as you are. Now, Lord, there may be some who have never invited you into their heart. Oh, how precious they are to you. May they repent of their sins and invite you to come into their hearts. There are some before us, O God, who have sought to control you, define you, and limit you, and you will not have any of that. So, Almighty God, may we embrace the mystery, may we embrace the power, may we respond to the call that you have upon our life. We pray this in the strong and holy name of Jesus. Amen. We will have our hymn of invitation where we invite anyone that God so leads to come forward. You can come for whatever reason. I would treasure an opportunity to pray with you. I'm one broken, incomplete person, and you are too. But maybe together we can discern what Jesus is up to for each one of us. Just give us Jesus. Would you please stand and sing? I will be down front to receive us. We come now to this time in the service that we have set aside during worship to dedicate our outdoor playground in memory of Bert and Leanne Henderson. This is a mutual endeavor today by our church and by members of IPTE under the leadership of Mr. Davis Babb, CEO of IPTE. Sir, I thank you from the depth of my heart. We'd not be here today, in part, without your leadership. I want you to hear from the family. We have a video that has been prepared by Kimberly Henderson's home church. And in it, she talks about her mom and her dad. She speaks for herself and in light of Amy Lee as well, her sister. This video has been viewed over 11,000 times and has touched thousands. After the video, Mr. Davis Babb will come, and then I will follow him.
This is officially campus. My dad taught there, so he used to teach as well. Okay, so then, oh, go forward. And the cemetery, it's in this. We need to go up, look. On October 31st, 2016, my dad called me and said my mom had been asked to go on medical leave from school, so we just thought it was maybe the medicine she was taking for her seizures. We had the surgery on November 25th, 2016, and my mom, being the biggest Clemson fan in the world, didn't want to miss the Clemson South Carolina game. She passed away at 7:10 on November 26th, 2016, so 20 minutes before the kickoff of the game. So we knew she had the best seat in the house. I could tell my dad was sad. I could just kind of tell he was such an outer shell of himself, and to see somebody whose confidence was just being shaken to the core, and he felt like the devil had a hold on him, and I remember him telling me that. And for me, that just broke my heart, because I knew that he trusted in the Lord, but his mind just kept telling him something different. On February 21st, 2017, around midday, the sheriff's office came by and said that they had found my dad's body right off of our property, and he had committed suicide. You just never believe. The person who was so strong in his faith and, you know, knew that he had a purpose here on this earth would do something like that. But his mind, just, he wasn't who he was. And he missed my mom so much. He just felt like he couldn't live without her. I think it's up there somewhere. Oh, I think it's it, y'all. Found it. Tragic event of your life, you can show people Christ through your parents' story, because it's not my story. It's a story that God's allowed me to be a part of. And that's all I kept thinking was, I want people to see Jesus through my parents, because they were such, you know, godly and such Christ-like people. And to just be able to like show people that even in the midst of our darkest, deepest times, and even when we're in the trenches, that God is still good and he's still faithful, even when it's really dark. And so after this time, I knew the amount of people praying for me was large, but once I was able to truly feel it and it felt so tangible to me, it was one of the coolest things. It was literally like each prayer was sitting on me. Like, this is a prayer from a friend, and I could just tell that people were praying for me because I could feel it. God had like given it like a protective bubble around me. Part of the prayers that I've mentioned earlier just are completely here, all in this box, and it's just letter after letter after letter. God had put things in place long before this ever happened, and He did such a good job, especially with me, of just putting people into place, knowing, hey, you know, both of Kimberly's parents are no longer here, and I'm gonna have people who in her life that she doesn't know why they're in her life right now, that had lost a parent, and just be able to speak truth into her when the devil is trying to, you know, bring her down. I don't believe my story is over. I think in some ways it's just beginning. I hope my story is ever changing and just shines a light on Christ through my parents.